Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is, we're in Tammuz, Daf Shin Pei Beis, and in July, and thank you so much for Mr. Jake Wyman. I want to start a little by talking about emotions for a moment, because sometimes people think, well, if I feel so much emotion, and sometimes it's negative emotion, maybe I'm lacking bitachon. Maybe that's a defect in my trust in Hashem. I just want to point out, there's somebody in Chumash who seems to constantly be moved to tears, and the great Lutzgarov in Parshas Vayigash records and lists 8 times that it says that he cried. Now, who do you think that person is? Who is somebody in Chumash who suffered so much that it's indescribable? Anybody think you want to say who that would be? He cried over and over again, even when he was on top of the world. And that person is Yosef. It says, Vayefka lehem. If you look in Parshas Vayigash, so the Lutzgarov points out, and this is our intro to today, Yosef hoyabal bechi. Yosef was a crier, someone who wept a lot. In Parshas Miketz, he moved away from, turned away and cried when his brothers came. And then it says he cried there, Vayef Kshama, that's number 2. And in this Parsha, also in Vayigash, he put forth his voice in crying, and he fell on the neck of Binyamin and cried. He cried over his brothers. He cried on his neck again. And in Parshas Vayechi, Vayefkalav, Vayef Yosef, Vidabramelav. 8 times the Lutzgarov points out that it says he cried. Why was this happening to Yosef? If he's firm in his bitachon, if everything's fine, why is he moved to tears so many times? So the Aznan the Torah mentions and points out, a person who has suffered a lot, who's gone through a lot, he's felt like an emotional punching bag. The Imosav Mitsuyos, his tears are found, afilu bimei shalvaso v'gadluso. Even when a person has tranquility and greatness and relief, he still is going to be easily emotional. And that is not a sign of a lack of bitachon or emuna, it's because he's gone through so much. So we should keep this in mind. There's another person we're going to talk about who also underwent such emotional trauma, and we've talked about him for a while. And guess what? It's coming up again. And that person is much later in Tanakh. And you know who that is? That's going to be David HaMelech. Today we're going to discuss the fact that we need people to be mechazik us as messengers of Hashem, and we need to sometimes strengthen other people as well. And that is something to be taken very seriously. We look in Shmuel Aleph, Perichof Gimel. Vayar David ki yata Shaul levakesh es nafsho. And David saw that Shaul came out to try to kill him. V'David b'midbar Zif. He was in the wilderness of Zif, b'chorsha. Chorsha means either a forest or name of a place. What was going on? David was hiding. He was on the run. And he was in this forest in Zif, until Shaul's anger would pass. Hopefully it would. And who came out there to help him? His dear friend. Vayakam Yohanan ben Shaul, Vayelech al David Chorsha. Yonatan came to help him. Vayachazek es yado belokim. And Yonatan spread the word of bitachon to David. He strengthened him in Hashem. Perachas Gimel, Pasuk Hezayin. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Al tira, don't be afraid. David, don't be afraid. Telling somebody who's running for his life, who has to hide, who's under the gun, Al tira, don't be afraid. But why? Why not be afraid? Why not? Ki lo simtza chayad yad Shaul avi. Because the hand of Shaul, my father, won't find you. A human being won't hurt you. You're immune to harm from any human being, even if he's Shaul, even if he's the king, even if he's the most powerful person. Don't worry. Lo simtza chayad Shaul avi. The hand of my father Shaul will not find you. You're not touchable. V'ata timlo chayisho. But not only that, you will actually be the ruler. V'anuchi eya l'cha v'mishneh. Now Yonatan says something very curious. And I will be the viceroy. I'll be the second in command. My father Shaul, he knows this already. He's known this already. The question is, first of all, what is the emotion, what's the sentiment of Yonatan that we can learn from? What is the great hallmark of Yonatan toward David? It says in Maseches Avos. It said, that's called Ahava. This is unadulterated, pure love of one human being to another one. Ahava amitis, the ein tzluya b'davar. It doesn't depend on anything else. It's an independent, altruistic love that Yonatan has, what human beings are supposed to have toward each other. The itzumam shalach sakanas, at the height of the dangers, she'afafu es David, they enveloped David. Did you ever feel, I am enveloped, I'm overwhelmed by all types of sorrows, distractions, things that seem to be pushing me down, breaking me. Ba'anashav, and also David's men were also in danger from Shaul. Ubei Soviv, in David's father's house, Ayidei Shaul. In that time, at the height of danger, Ba'elav Yehonasan. Yehonasan came l'nachamo, to comfort him. Here's a friend. Here's a ray of light in the thick clouds. U'lechazik rucho, to strengthen his spirit. U'bitchono be'elokim, and his trust in Hashem, ba'yomim ha'koshim ha'ela, in these hard days. Now, this is something to reflect on. I'll say to myself, did you ever have a really hard time? Somebody steps in. And you know what? You could be this person. We could be the person who steps in for someone else. Somebody. It takes one person to come in and be mechazik me. One person. And you know what? When that person shows up, when that person sends me an email or a text, when that person smiles at me, I know the Ribbono Shel Olam loves me because there's somebody here whom he sent to take care of me. And this is what Yonatan did for David. He came to comfort him, to strengthen him. And he invested his energies to put hope into him. Sheyiyeh batuach, that he should be sure, David should be assured. He invested hope. Shesof hakavod lavo, that the end is that he's going to have the honor. Now, what kind of honor? David is not looking for honor. Yeah, but he needs kavod abrios. He's on the run. So what happened is that Yonatan injected into him tikva that at the end the proper kavod he's going to get is going to come. It's okay to want that kavod, by the way. Why is Yonatan so sure? Because Hashem already said he's going to be king. If Hashem said something's going to happen, then it's going to happen. The tziva the Navi Shmuel, he already told Navi Shmuel, I'm reading you the Me'am Lois, Lamashko, to anoint him. Ma yuchalaso slow. What could Shaul do to him? He is not possibly going to be harmed by a human being. If it's the Ratzon Hashem, we learned last time, it says, Bekar Hashem tzur lomim. Hashem is the rock of the world. Hashem is the absolute rock and stability of everything. If Hashem wants it, it's going to happen. Nothing will stop it from happening. Don't worry, he tells him. And my father cannot harm you in the least. He won't be able to do anything to you. What can a human being do to me? If Hashem wants a certain fate for me, nobody's going to be able to stop that. I want to quote Rabbeinu Tam. There's a line of poetry that he wrote in his Sefer. And he talks about bitachon. And he says, Ki divrei hara venivo, words of evil and its prediction, like the word navi venivo, ha teshuva la'achar teshivo, repentance can turn it back. That means if there is news that doesn't sound very good, if there's a forecast, if there's a prediction, if there's a speculation and it sounds negative, then that could be turned back. That could be revoked. That could be reversed. V'niyeh basora tova. But if there's good news, v'imyeh b'sara tov, if there's good news, good tidings, kosher amar bo yavo, Rabbi Tom writes, everything that Hashem said is going to come. This is what Yonatan said to him. Yonatan told him, if Hashem wants you to be king, you're going to be king. It looks like it's not going to happen. It's not true. It is going to happen. And my father won't hurt you. Lo simtzacha yad shal avi. The hand of my father Shaul will not find you. He cannot harm you. You're going to rule. The words of Rabbeinu Tam. Ki divrei hara venivo. When we hear predictions, when we hear plans that don't sound favorable, ha teshuva la'ocha teshiva, we can turn it back with tshuva and with positive thinking. V'miya basara tova. But if there's good news, kosher amar bo yavo. It's for sure going to come. Yes. No, but I want you to know that the Rabbeinu Tam's lashon is, "Imi yeh besora tova," The first part was Divrei Hara v'Nivo. So there's two things he said. He says the words and things of evil and its prediction. The word Niv is like Borei Niv Sifasai. The Gemara Bava Kama says Niv is a lashon of Dibor. So it says HaTeshuva, repentance will turn it back. However, Teshuva is a lashon of returning. That means when we connect with Ribbono Shel Olam, if you look in the Rambam, it's mashma in the Rambam. I once gave a chabur on this in Beis Medrash that when a person's mesakein midos, that's tshuva. That's the process of tshuva that we're constantly engaged in. So part of midos is emunah and bitachon. So that means the constant. If you like, you think about an engine that's always recharging itself. There's a charging system in a car's engine. There's an alternator. There's a battery. The battery doesn't die as long as the engine is recharging. When we're charging ourselves with our alternators on our batteries and our electrical systems, the spiritual, that's working on midos all the time. That's keeping our engine going. That's keeping us connected with vitality and with Hashem. So when the Rabbeinu Tam says that teshuva l'achat teshivo, so it's not just, oh yes, we're going to go through the process of repentance right now. No, it's the constant clinging to Hashem and the tikkun amidos, the avodas amidos that we're always doing. Okay, that's the tip of an iceberg in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the afal pi shemiderecha ohavim sherotzim shetiskayim ha'ava b'neihem. So the Mayam Lois points out something amazing here, because there's a little phrase that Yonason said. It gets your attention. He says to David, listen, don't worry about anything. You're going to rule because the Ribbono Shalom said you're going to rule. So that's not going to change. So don't worry about anything. And I'm going to be your viceroy. I'm going to be your second in command. Rasef is going to be your second in command. What's Yonason's plan here? What does he mention being, he needs to be the viceroy? What does it have to do with anything? So first of all, does anybody know why did Yonason say that to him? What does it have to do with promising him, everything's going to be fine. I'll be second to you. What does it matter? What's it relevant to? So first of all, it doesn't even make sense logically, because people who love each other, and they want to have a loving relationship, usually they want to be the midah shava. They always point out they want to be an equal level. One of them is not generally hoping that the other one will become superior and he'll be second fiddle, he'll be subordinate to him. That's not usually what's true. No, but Yehonasan is such a tzaddik gamur. He said to David, you will rule over Bnei Yisrael, and you know what? When you're ruling, I will still love you. 100%. Lo tivutal ha'ava b'shvil zeh. I'm not worried that you're going to be in a higher position than me, even though I should be in that position, because I'm the son of the king, you know? I'm Shaul's son. So don't you think I'm supposed to be? It says, hu abanav. He's supposed to take over. I'm supposed to be the next king. But I don't begrudge that to you at all, because the Ribbono Shel Olam said you're going to be the king. By the way, all the midos are connected. As you notice that, if a person has bitachon, we already said it last time, then he can love other people. He's not worried about his kavod. That facilitates his love toward David. So if a person has bitachon, and I said that everything's fine, he's not a Baal Gaiva. So there you have the Midah of Gaiva. He's an Anav, he's humble. There's the Midah of Anava. He's not worried. He has bitachon and emunah. Therefore, that launches, facilitates, is a catalyst to Ava. He can love somebody else. And when people are worried, and people are conceited, they're worried often about their honor, and about their status, and about their recognition, then they cannot love other people. They resent them. Why do they resent them? It says in Maseches Avos, because they feel that they're not being honored and recognized enough. Everything's connected. All the midos are connected here. So it says right here, the Ava, it says in Maseches Avos, this is the epitome, the ultimate love of a human being toward another human being. It's an Ava, and it's Shalei B'Davar. As I state in Maseches Avos, so that's what it says. It's based on Shmuel Aleph, Parakhov Gimel. So he says to him, listen, I will always love you. I have no ulterior motives. I have no personal considerations. I don't have any petty worries that you're going to be superior to me. Even though, you know what? We know already, he's supposed to be the king. He's next in line. No problem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be the king. It's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants certain people to be raised and recognized. I'm not worried that I'm not getting enough kavod. Anochi Eyelecha the Mishnah. I'm going to be the second in command. I don't mind. Meaning, I don't mind that I'm in second in command. She yelecha yachas He knows he's going to have a relationship with the king. It's not going to be one of resentment. I resent you. There are some people, they cannot say hi to other people sometimes. They can't be friendly to them because they resent them. They feel animosity toward them because they feel they don't have enough kavod from them. So therefore, they can't smile at them. It's a true human thing. So he says, I don't have that at all, David. I will always love you. Even though you, the son-in-law, talk about family politics now, you, the son-in-law, will fill the place of my father, meaning I am the son, and logically, I should fill his place, I should be the ma'ale makom, you're going to be the ma'ale makom. This surely could happen. You could have a son and a son-in-law at each other's necks, and the son-in-law could resent the son, and vice versa. He says, I don't have any resentment towards you, no animosity. I'll be the second command. This answers another question. Was Yonah's son David's Mishnah Lamech? Was he the viceroy? No, because he got killed on Har Gilboah at the end of Shmuel Aleph. So he never made it to that position. So what's he talking about that he's going to be the Mishnah? He's not saying, I am going to be the Mishnah. He's saying, I'm willing to be the Mishnah. I'm willing to be your subordinate. And I will still have unadulterated love toward you. Pure love. And that's why the man always points out, Chazal said about Yonah's son, he's an anvison, he was mevater on his kavod for the good of others. Absolute, unselfish, altruistic love and devotion toward a friend. Halavai, this is the role model of bitachon. He has his bitachon, he has the midos package par excellence. He has his bitachon, and he has his alava, and therefore he has his ava. And the Sfarim say that one reason that people have a hard time with Shemiras Halashah, there are underlying reasons. One of the underlying reasons is that people feel that they should have more kavod, and therefore they have problem with lashon hara.
You just with all the attributes that you're giving to Yonatan, I would also add to that the need of not being jealous. I mean, that's a biggie.
Right, 100%. Because the kina that a person has of being jealous towards someone else's kavod, that's very much tied with this. 100%. And we know that the word kina, according to Rashi in the Gemara Sota Daf Beis, is also anger, because, you know, anger and jealousy are absolutely hand in hand. That's right. He has the mita of not being jealous also. That's correct. And really not being jealous is because he has the mita of what the Malos Hamidos calls histafkus, that he's satisfied with what he has also. Because when people are not satisfied with what they have, then they have jealousy. So that's right. Add that to the list of mitos. And that's why these people are in Tanakh. So we have Yonasan. But Yonasan, he doesn't have a perfect life either. His father is angry at him because he is on David's side. So the father's angry at the son because the son is taking the son-in-law's side. It's a political thing, but it's also because of the deep-rooted challenges that Shaul HaMelech was having at that time. Thank you. That's very important to point that out. And we know that kina is one of the central meetups that we're supposed to rid ourselves of, and it says in the Gemara, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Rakav Atzamos Kina. Thanks for pointing out Kina. The litmus test, we've talked about this before, of a tzaddik or tzaddikus is Kina. According to the Gemara in Shabbos, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Rakav Atzamos Kina. It says in the Gemara above Matzia, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said, Ubasari Yishkan Levesach, I know that my body, my physical body, will always be intact, will not decompose. Why? Because I have found myself to not have Kina. I have that tzidkus, he conducted a test on himself without doing the whole Gemara, that just, let's take that one fact, that kina is a gauge. It's like you have gauges, like you check the oil in the engine, you take out that dipstick. The spiritual dipstick for mitos, for tzidkus, is kina, the Gemara says. If I don't have jealousy, if I'm not jealous, and I test myself about this, I hear that someone has kavod, I hear that somebody has money, whatever it is, when I hear this, what does that trigger in me? Does it trigger anything negative? And if it does, that's because I'm a human being. What do I do now? Do I just move on and I'm 100% positive and loving to the other person? Or does it continue? That's telling me whether I'm a tzaddik or not, according to the Gemara. That's the test. And that is the test for all the mitos.
So this idea of Yonatan going against his father.
Right, Yonatan going against his father. Mm-hmm.
So halachically, how does that work out?
Yes. Ish. Imo va'aviv tiro. What's the next word? Beth shavsosai tishmoru parshas kedoshim. Sure, we have to not go against our parents. Sure, we're not allowed to contradict our parents. unless they're going against halacha and against the Torah, and if Shaul is being rodef David, then presumably the pashtus, he's not following halacha right now. So therefore, Yonasan is allowed to be on David's side, to help David, to encourage David, and there's no violation of kibbutz ava'im right there, because the father-in-law is out of line right now. That's why that's not a problem.
How did that halacha set up
for Shmuel? So that's because Shmuel, the backbone of the whole thing right here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himlicho. Hashem already crowned David. He declared that he's king. V'tziva l'navi Shmuel l'mashcho. And he commanded the Navi Shmuel to anoint him. Ma yuchalaso slow. So what could Shaul possibly do to harm him? Yeah, he's trying to, but he won't be able to, Lamaisa. But that's because the Navi is the Shliach Hashem who said it. And the truth is that even Shmuel was afraid of Shaul. We know this already, right? Remember? He said, Eich Eilech v'shama Shaul v'haragani. Famous pasuk, he said, how could I even go and anoint David? If Shaul hears, he'll kill me. So Shmuel knows that Shaul is out of line right now. Shaul was a great tzaddik atzum, but he had the issues that we can talk about some other time perhaps. But yeah, but that's the way that works. Shmuel is the one, he's the posek, he's the shofet, he's the navi, and he's explaining that this is how it is. This is the Ratzon Hashem. All of this was an intro to the paragraph the Chafetz Chaim says, speaking to the soldiers on the battlefield. Back to it. We're in the beautiful text of the Chafetz Chaim, Machne Yisrael. Just like it's a mitzvah to become strong and be tachon, k'shem shemitzvah lischazik bi'atzmo, it's a mitzvah. And I was learning this, reviewing it. I said I have to savor every word of the Chafetz Chaim. Every word is kadosh, has to be chewed up, digested, assimilated, into my neshama, metabolized. Listen to the beautiful lashon. The eloquence. U'kishem shemitzvah liyischazek de'atmo. Just like it's a mitzvah to become strong. In bitachon, kach mitzvah lachazek es a'achiv. And echav, for that matter. There's also a mitzvah to strengthen his brothers, to strengthen our friends, our relatives. If we see somebody who needs strengthening, somebody needs support, emotional support, then we need to try to do that, to infuse them with bitachon if possible. If they're open to it, if we have some kind of dialogue, however we can do it, gam ken also, the miras habitachon. We have to try to spread that bitachon, make it contagious. And we have to remember, we started out the very first gathering we had here. I want to thank you, by the way, everybody who joins us each time. We said that the result, the fruits of one's labor of emunah bitachon is simcha. And we said that simcha is also contagious. And when we smile, that's also contagious. So there are so many ways we can work on other people. There are subtle ways we can do it by smiling, by making someone's day. Think about it when you say good morning to somebody with a smile. And then there's the dialogue. There's the engaging the person. Like Yonasan said to him. Yonasan said to David, Al Tira. That's what he said to him. Don't be afraid. In fact, don't let my father frighten you. Sometimes you have to say this to somebody. Don't let that person intimidate you or frighten you. Don't let that bother you. Because that person is out of line. I would like to quote Rabbi Kibble Zichrono Livracha. He once asked me, he used to make me feel good by asking me questions. And I would learn something and make it like I knew something. He would say, are you allowed to say, let's say somebody's feelings are hurt by someone. Are you allowed to say to the victim, the one who was hurt, don't feel bad because that person is not sensible. That person isn't logical. Are you allowed to say, or is that Lashon Hara? What do you think? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to be mechazik, a victim of anas devarim, and say, don't feel bad. The person who hurt your feelings does that to everyone. And don't take it personally. They're not smart the way they talk to others. Am I allowed to do that, or is that Lashon Hara?
Maybe you're judging the perpetrator that they are limited, and right. Is that judging them fair?
Yeah. So it's indicated in Sfarim, we've had the sources before, that you are allowed to do that. That's part of being mechazik somebody else. And the person is broken, the person is insulted, a person's worried. That's all in the same category. There's a mitzvah to be mechazik that person. And that's what, because the truth is, really, Yonasan is saying that. He says, don't worry. I mean, that's implying something negative about his father. He's saying, don't worry. My father will never be able to hurt you. No, he's not going to hurt you. His hand will never reach you. It won't find you. obviously there's an implication that Shaul's out of line. So when it's necessary to do that to strengthen somebody, sometimes we're allowed to do that. With Bitachon for sure, it's okay. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. This is our example. What Yonasan did to David is the example, it's the prototype case for being mechadik somebody else with Bitachon. Yes.
I'm wondering, is it toelis for the person to understand that someone did the wrong thing to them, or is
right.
it judging them favorably that this person is limited and try to understand that?
The pashtus, it's both. The toelis allows it to be said, and the content of what you just said afterward is how we explain it, but that's what allows it to be said, because that's the situation. So that's part of the toelis communication. So the Chofetz Chaim tells us, we see what Yonasan did for David here. Ba'eis shohayar nirdaf, when he was being chased. Ba'hayatzar lo ma'od, he was very oppressed, in very great danger. Chizek Yonasan es yado ba'Hashem. Yonasan strengthened his hand with Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim does not cite Perek Chof Gimel in Shmuel Aleph, but it's definite that this is at least one of the places that he's hinting to. It's clear, it's black and white that this is what Yonasan did for him. He strengthened him. He says, here are soldiers on a battlefield. Here are people who go through crises together, who go through struggles, have challenges, and they can strengthen each other. It's not just stop. It's a mitzvah to do what he says, to strengthen other people. We have to be strengthening each other. The year of the Dabra Elibo, he should speak on his heart. If we are able to make a person feel even a little bit better, a little less anguished, a little less stressed, a little less anxious, that's a mitzvah. Try to deflate the balloon of anxiety. He should say to the person, don't be soft-hearted. Let's try to strengthen ourselves. Try not to be afraid. Let's not melt in the face of this challenge. Let's not fall apart. The Yedan, he should know, Ki Hashem Elokeinu Imonu Tamid. And Hashem is with us constantly. Hashem is constantly with us. Now, this is something that I want to talk about and I want to reflect on for a couple minutes. It says in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, we're supposed to think, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. And we know the poskim say that I'm supposed to picture something in front of you, not just think about it. If you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says you're supposed to picture Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in front of me, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, with a certain vowels. And it's the same vowels as that are under Yira. So you're supposed to, all you do is you insert those into the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And you're supposed to picture that in front of me. I'm supposed to see it, like draw a picture in front of me. Now I might say, why in front of me? What does in front of me have to do with anything? Because if it's in front of me, I see that the Ribono Shel Olam is with me. Why not behind me? You know the expression, I have your back, so Hashem has my back. Right? Yeah, yeah, he's taking care of everything on all sides. But if I see it in front of me, then you know what? Wherever I turn, I'm looking down, I'm looking up there, I'm looking that way, I see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in front of me. And you know what? That's what he says here. V'yeda ki Hashem Elokeinu Imanu Tami. Hashem is constantly with us. He doesn't leave us. Now, what makes people anxious and afraid is, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm alone. What should I do? I'm alone. I'm panicking. A panic attack. I'm afraid. Stop. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is in front of me. Ho-Yehova V'yiyah. And one thing that hit me today in davening when I was thinking about that, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is he was, he is, and he will be. Besides that, it's Midas Sarachmim. And that means Hashem knows what the outcome of this crisis is going to be. And I am allowed to be optimistic that he knows that the outcome of this crisis is going to be positive. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, I see it in front of me. I don't think it. I don't imagine it. I don't try to conjure it up. I see it. There it is in front of me, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Yeda Ki Hashem Elokeinu Imanu Tamid. There are psukim that support it in the Chumash. And we're going to take a question, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Shivisi, what is that?
Right, I have placed Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in front of me constantly. I place it. I actually put it there. It's like, I put it there. I place it there. I see it in front of me. I
what
put that like a poster board in front of me.
It's a different lesson of than seeing.
Right,
what's
that's
the
correct.
Root of it? Maybe there's a reason that that word is used.
Yes, we're going to have to explore that.
Is
it's a great
shabbat,
question.
Is it like
it's a verb. Word? So I'm going to have to look. I have to see. That's a really good. It is lashis. The verb is used. It's a lashon of putting something down. It's like, I like that because you know what? That's like, I can just take, I'm supposed to, every second that I forget, I put it back in front of me. I place it back in front of me. There I see it again. And that's what leads me through life. From the second I wake up in the morning, moda ani lefanecha, it's really hard to say moda ani when you wake up with anxiety. Moda ani lefanecha, I see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. As soon as I'm awake enough to see that, I see it. I don't just think it. today what we started to talk about was that not only do we have to strengthen ourselves, we have to strengthen others as well. And we have, there's a relative out there, Hashem sends us, there's a friend. I can be that relative, and I can be that friend, and I can also welcome that and celebrate it when Hashem sends that relative and that friend to be the shliach, to strengthen me as well. So, Mir Hashem, there should be always worthy shluchim to help us with bitachon as we go through all the challenges of life. Thank you so much. And now we're going to open for questions. And if there are any, we're going to experiment with it. Okay, well, it's supposed to reverse it. You're really unmuted. You know what? I have to see those lashis or lashis is to place. I have to see if that verb. Yeah, how that. You know, did I? I know. No, I don't know. I don't know the verb well enough. Maybe other people here, the very educated people here. Yeah, I have to look it up. Yeah.
It's not really a question. Just going back to that important point that you made about.
Yeah. So this is what if there's a sefer called Sefer HaYashar by Rabbeinu Tam. There's more than one Rabbeinu Tam, by the way. And in this sefer, he says a beautiful line, and I haven't thought of that in years, but it should be right there. And his Lashon has a really beautiful, long chapter about all the beautiful, wonderful favors that Hashem has always done for us. And even if I don't find it here, I'm going to quote it to you. It says, think about, and he lists this favor, this, and then he says, this teaches us, ki divrei hara venivo, that the words of evil and its prophecy or its prediction, ha teshuva le'achar teshiva, repentance can turn it back. It, you know, they're very poetic. The Rishonim are always very poetic. So I remembered only that line, but that line means so much to me. Ha teshuva le'achar teshiva. So that means when we think, you know, people hear like forecasts and predictions and everything, that's not absolute. That's what it's trying to say. But the tshuva that can turn it back, that's, as I said before, it's tikkun hamidos, is tshuva also, because we're constantly bringing ourselves close to Hashem. So we really have so much power. We have way more power than we realize.
Tshuva doesn't necessarily mean the whole process of usually, like, over adopter, tshuva. I mean, tshuva is synonymous with tikkun hamidos.
Right. There's a, based on the Rambam, that's where I get that idea from, that because tshuva is a constant process. I have it marked in my Rambam also in Hilchos Tshuva, how that's why it says tshuva, I remember now, this was the basis, we had to make a chabura, I was in 12th grade, which was based medrash already, so it says that, a long time ago, it says tshuva is magatha kisya kavod. You know, the Gemara says that tshuva reaches the kisya kavod. Now it also says that when Yaakov, this is what it was based on, when Yaakov was fighting with the Malach, you know what it says about the Kisei HaKavod there? It says they were kicking up dust and it reached up to the Kisei HaKavod. So, after some research and some tying some sources together, since that ma'avak, that wrestling with the Malach, is a Sar Shel Esav, which is a fight with the Yetzer Hara, and the dust they kicked up reached up to the Kisei HaKavod, which is the Avak, and Tshuva also reaches to the Kisei HaKavod. So the constant struggle over the Yetzer Hara, which is the constant fixing of our midos, so that is the same idea as tshuva, which also comes. It's not a coincidence that both things reach to the Kisei HaKavod, because the fight with the Sar Shel Esav is constant process of tshuva. That's why it says it about tshuva, the same lashon. That's what I'm saying. So just like the fight with the Malach is working on midos, so that's synonymous with the process of tshuva, which is a perpetual thing, because every second we can become about tshuva. Just by, remember, I'll prove it to you. Oh yeah, we talked about this on Shabbos, I think, how Hirhuri tshuva make you into a Baal tshuva. We said, you know, how do we learn out that a chassid and kala are forgiven for their averus on their wedding day? How do we learn it out? We learn it out from Esav. Because they married Basmas Bas Yishmael. Remember, he was Yishmael's son-in-law too. He married Basmas. But it also calls her Machalas. Now, when it calls her Machalas, that's not really her name. So as it's brought down in the end of, it should be, Parshas, very end of Parshas Vayetzeh, as it's open on the table on Shabbos, here we go, because he took Machalas. So the Luke Skarab says, a chasen is forgiven for all his averos. So he says, well, why by Esav's weddings we learn it out? What's the reason? So this will help answer your question. He says, I'll tell you why. It's to tell us, number one, even if a person, even if the chassan or the kala did a lot of bad in their lives, they did a lot of avos like Esav, they still forgive them on their wedding day. I think because they're becoming selfless, because spouses have to be absolutely selfless, they have to divide themselves, everything about them. But the second thing he says, only if he has thoughts of tshuva. Esav took machlas. Why? He wanted to be in good standing with his father. He saw that the Benos Canaan, the local girls, weren't so favorable in his father's eyes. And therefore he decided, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, darshan, nasan daito liskaya, or to do tshuva. So in other words, he says when a person thinks of doing tshuva, hiruei tshuva, that's already, he's forgiven for his avarice. He becomes like a tzaddik gomer at that moment. So any time that a person thinks, I really want to work in this mita. I want to get better. So the Gemara says that thought, you catch that moment, that's like he became a tzaddik at that moment. Now what he does the next moment, that's a different person. It's not the same as he was then. So that means that Esav was literally like a tzaddik, even if it was for a fleeting moment, whatever it was. So every time we're working on aminos, part of working on aminos is I'm trying to improve. I want to improve. I want to be better. I want to be close to Hashem. That makes the person like a Baal Tshuva right there at that second. He's called Hiruei Tshuva. So Hatshuva L'Achas Hashivo, it's certainly at least almost synonymous, if not literally synonymous, with working on our aminos. Because we can become, Machshav is so powerful. The Machshav says, remember the Gemara Makos, every Machshav creates a Malach. It creates that Malach that it talks about in Avos. So that's all part of the ongoing process of Tshuva. Then there's more dramatic tshuva, more substantial tshuva, like where a person had a really big habit and they're going to kick that habit, they're going to change their lifestyle. Yeah, but every little nuance of improvement is a process of tshuva. So the Rabbeinu Tam, HaTshuva, Lachat HaTshuva, of course it can mean a thought of tshuva at that moment, a thought of getting close to Hashem, a thought of, I'm not going to worry anymore because I know Hashem is helping me. Certainly, and we can develop this point, but that's for sure. No question about that.
If you do all the deeds of the tshuva, but you don't have your heart in it, or your midos, like mm-hmm. your midos in it, does it still count?
Well, like Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, with some averos, the first step is stop doing it. That's the some averos. But you see, there's also the Gemara in Kedushin. There's so many Gemaras about hiruei tshuva. People, they underestimate their power. If I think for a second, I want to improve in this area, I want to do better, that's like a tzaddik at that second, okay? So it's like so powerful, we don't even realize it, we underestimate it. So that's also tshuva. And yes, we can literally turn things around. He turned around, the whole halakha is learned from him, just because of that you're forgiven on your wedding day. And it's lashon of machalas, it's lashon of mechila. The lady's name is Basmat, not Machalas. But he thought of doing tshuva. He married her for that reason, whatever it was. And it's even superficial. It's just to get in. It's just on the surface. All of this kibbut out, by the way. We know that it's all on the surface. That's why his reward was on the surface. It was all in Olam Hazeh. The end of Vayishlach, you have all these chieftains and the aluf, 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 aluf. Most of us aluf, 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 aluf. It's chiefs and it's princes and the king. That's his reward. It's an Olam Hazeh because it was all very, very profound. It was very superficial, perfunctory type of, not the wrong word. It was all on the surface. Okay, that's what it was. Very shallow observance of, and it was kibbut av. I don't even know about kibbut av. It was kibbut av. If anybody can show me that it says kibbut av about him, I'm not sure. It says kibbut av by him. And that was only because he wants stuff. Like he wants a good reputation. Still he did a mitzvah, but it was totally for ulterior motives. And here you have the whole halacha. You're forgiven. It's learned from him. From Machlas. It's unbelievable. So that shows you, imagine a person who's not Esav. Imagine a person who really, for the most part, is in the right place, is doing the right stuff. So then, of course, it's a constant, it's a level, I go up a level, and that's tshuva. And then I lose it. My Rebbe in 10th grade said, you went up a level, and then you lost the Nisayon. You say, I lost the same Nisayon, I failed, but I failed in yesterday, right? No, it's not you, it's a different person. So if it's a different person, you did tshuva, you did it. There's so many levels of it, you can't even count how many levels. It's just everything spiritual. So,
that's why Sheva Yipol Tzadik become, because the person becomes, from here, Sheva, you become a Tzadik, you're saying. So then, if you fall, it's just part of the process, then you just work on it more.
Right, maybe this will remind you. The Gemara says if a person engages a woman, you know the Gemara? Amanas Shani Tzadik Omer. You know about that? He says, Harei Amukadashasli Betabasu. He hands her a cell phone, he hands her a ring, and says, you're engaged to me, halakhically engaged, like the one we do under the chuppah, the real one, that ring, halakh engagement, on the condition that I'm a Tzadik Omer. Okay, and we find out later he was not a tzaddik gomer at all. So the question always in the Gemara is, does she need a get or not? Is she engaged? She accepted the ring, and there were Edom and everything, and it was on that condition. Does she need a get? Well, what do you mean? Of course she doesn't need a get. She's not engaged. The condition wasn't fulfilled, correct? He's not. They found out he's not a tzaddik gomer, correct? It's not true, because he might have thought tshuva at the moment. If he thought tshuva, he was a tzaddik gomer at the moment. Tzaddik gomer, that means he did tshuva. Why? Because he thought he wanted to get close to Hashem. So she actually needs to get, because you don't know. He might have been a tzaddik at the moment.
But if someone is doing this as a lay, then it doesn't count.
Meaning,
maybe
like,
he didn't have her too,
yeah.
But he didn't have any thoughts in his head. But I'm saying, like, you're saying some people do things, but they're just doing it. That's what I'm sort of responding to.
That's what I'm wondering.
But as long as they're not doing it belated
for the right reason,
then it's okay.
Unless you mean that, then it's.
I think maybe they have the wrong reasons and making like they're
confident. Right.
They're really doing it at the moment. Even if they don't
sort of believe in it, like let's say you're just like parve, like you're just doing it because you're supposed to do this, and this, so I'm gonna do it. So it's almost like, you know, lo lishma bo lishma, I'm looking
right.
at it.
Something
is
superficial, but it's not a lit.
But I think that still counts because lo lishma bo lishma, like it could be that way, but as long as you're not being a lace about it.
So this is what I've seen in the Gemara and the Mepharshim. That let's talk about Og for a minute. Okay, so Og told Avram that Lot was captured because he wants Avram to get killed so he can marry Sarah, correct? So
who wants to be captured?
So remember, Og wants Avram to get killed. I don't know what I said wrong. Og told Avram that Lot is captured, so Avram can go to war in the four and the five kings. So Avram will hopefully get killed, and now Og is going to take Avram's wife, correct? I got that right? Now, what does it say about that? Moshe Rabbeinu is petrified of Og later on. Hashem says, don't be afraid of him. What's he afraid of, Og? Yeah, because he had a zechus. A zechus? Yeah, because he told Avram that Lot was captured. Zechus, terrible motive that he had, wasn't it? But the bottom line is, he did something. He did something that was good. Now, usually we say, now if it's the kanter, if it's really just to provoke and just to cause problems, see, this is where it gets a little sticky, because this is what it says in the Medrash Rabbah about Zechariah, right, the first person who threw a stone at Zechariah in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember the blood that was in the Gemara Sanhedrin? There was the blood that wouldn't settle in the Beis HaMikdash because Zechariah was killed in the Beis HaMikdash. It says the one who threw it at him, the first stone, was an Av Mezdin. Because Zechariah was telling them that they all did teshuva. They didn't want to hear from Zechariah anymore, so they threw stones at him and they killed him in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the fifth parak of Eicha hints to it, or all the Aleph Beis of Eicha hint to it. All the Averis they did, it was Yom Kippur, it was Shabbos, unbelievable thing. So what I'm trying to bring out is that one of the Mepharshim says, oh yeah, I saw it brought down in the Talmud Hamad Hagam, I believe. He says, when that person who was the Abed, and when he learned in order to lord over other people, to show how much he knew and how little other people knew. If that's why he's learning, that's only to hurt other people, then that's not the rule that you said before, Mitok Shalol Lishma Ba Lishma. That's the very caustic, harmful, dangerous Lo Lishma. That's not the one we're talking about. Now, with Og, though, so that's not good at all. Now, the Og thing, though, now why is Moshe Rabbeinu still afraid of Og, though? Because that's what I'm trying to grapple with right now. Isn't that the same idea? Wasn't it just harmful? Wasn't that just a very negative motive? Is there anything better about that than the person who learns Torah in order to lord over people and to hurt them and to insult them and to put them down? I don't know. I'm trying to deal with it. Maybe because Og wasn't held to as high a standard because he wasn't a Yid, so maybe that's why. Okay, I'm just working about this Lo Lishma thing. But the bottom line is, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeh HaSechar Kol Briyah. That's what we have to realize. That's what we have to realize. When someone does something good, Hashem is going to reward them when they do something good. He's going to reward them. So the bottom line is that, I know, that Av Bezin, his Lo Lishma was so negative and harmful, and it came to fruition when he actually helped to kill Zechariah. Og just had Avram sent to war, but he didn't harm Avram. He didn't lemaisa have Avram didn't get harmed, so he's rewarded. Maybe that's the difference. So he gets rewarded because the end result was that Avram wasn't harmed. Everybody came out okay, and still Og helped that Lot was saved. So Moshe is afraid of him. Is that making sense? Moshe is afraid later, even though his motive was terribly. It was a decadent. It was a horrible, right, motive that Og had. But lemaisa, he didn't hurt anybody. Avram actually only good came out of us. Maybe there, the outcome, you look at the outcome in that case. It could be like that. It's a very complicated situation. The Lo Lishma. So that's right. When a person does it, they always create a malach that's good for whatever good they do, even if it's not for the right reason. Now Esav gets all this schar, and the right over here, he only did it to please his father, so his father should like be deceived, if you consider that Yitzchak was deceived. That's all this question. So that also sounds like a very negative thing. But Lamaisa, the things turned out okay at the end. Rivka was able to set him up, set him straight, etc. So maybe that's why, I don't know, it's a complicated study. But Hashem, of course, he rewards everything, just better reward for better motive. No question about that. I'm going to find this for Rabbeinu Tam.
Maybe the reason that Moshe was afraid of Og was because even though he knew that it's evil, look how close Hashem is, he maybe figured himself to Og, that even though he did this, you know, Hashem still turned it around to make it good.
Okay, there you go. That's good. Now, that's good. Okay, that way better expresses what I was trying to say. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the whole picture, beginning to end. He says, everything came out fine at the end. And I'm really afraid of this guy because he had a zuchus and Hashem revolutioned. You know what I'm saying? Hashem made it come out good. So, yeah, that's right. Very good. So, it's almost, you could say, the ends justify the means. Maybe not 100%, but at least better than the case with the people who learn Torah. The Gemara says, Lakanter. There are people who learn Torah. There are those who learn Lakanter so that they will know a lot, and then they'll be able to show other people that they don't know very much, and they can shoot them down with how much they know. Now, that sounds like it's absolutely far-fetched and ridiculous, but it actually could happen.
It does happen. That's
a very dangerous, that's
very,
a terrible
thing.
There are people who learn and they want to get renowned, they want to get recognized for it, they want to get a position for it, and if that actually, they step on other people from that, that's what's called Lakanter. It's Lakanter. It's supposed to be Torah Lishma.
That makes Mido so important.
Right, that's why constantly they're working on our Midos, right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. Oh, well, it's just to have you back.
I'm very happy to be back in town.
Thank you so much.
I just called to see how I could call it.
Thank you very much for coming. It's big zuchus.